Welcome into the Whole Hog Podcast. So Campbell, bringing you all of today's action. And if you missed last week's episode, I really encourage you to go back. We're doing a series where we're talking to all of our writers from Whole Hog Sports and our family of networks like Hogs Illustrated. And we talked to Richard Davenport last week, and he gave us some good insight on some fun recruiting stories, including what happened with Alex Collins and Yalta Froholt, you know, two very unique guys that came in to the University of Arkansas. And we got another special treat for you this week. We've got a longtime Arkansas writer, Clay Henry, joining us this week. Clay, thanks so much for being on.
Good to be here, Seth.
All right, Clay. So you were here for the entire decade with the University of Arkansas Sports. There was a lot that was going on, but I think that it's appropriate that we start with a guy that is getting a lot of headlines right now, and that's Jimmy Witt. And really, he's making headlines. You know, he's been picking it up on the offensive end, but you talked about that he's playing some really great defense as well.
Yeah, Seth, when I look at really this whole team plays solid defense, and in talking to Pat Foster, who coached at Lamar, Houston and Nevada, head coach, played at Arkansas in the early 60s, was an all-conference player, then was one of the lead assistants for Eddie Sutton for years at Arkansas. And James Dickey, who was on that staff, went with Sutton from Arkansas to Kentucky and was later a head coach at both Texas Tech and Houston. Those guys watched a lot of this team, and they really compare the defensive style man-to-man that Eric Musselman coaches to the same techniques and emphasis that Eddie Sutton. And it was, you know, the Henry Iba style of defense, just solid man-to-man. And you go back to the triplet, Sidney Moncrief, Ron Burr, and Marvin Delph. And the guy that I would pick out, and Jimmy Counts was a good defensive player, but as far as guards on that team, Moncrief was the guy that just stood out. And you know, then he was for years, you know, on the all defensive team in the NBA. And when I watch Jimmy Witt, that's who I think of. And he's 6'4", 6'5". He uses his length. You know, he's going to deny the ball. He's going to keep you from touching it. He's going to play the best deep offensive player on the other team, and he's going to take him out of the game. And you saw down the stretch, he did that with Ole Miss's best player this past week against TCU. They had a shooting guard that had scored 27 against Texas Tech, which I think plays good defense with Chris Beard. And he was just a non-factor in that game. And TCU just didn't, you know, that just kind of blew them out of the water as far as their, you know, their offensive sets, what they wanted to run. So Jimmy Witt is kind of a throwback to another era that he's gonna bring his defensive lunch pail to work first, and I can't say enough about what he's meant to this Arkansas team this year.
So is he the best defender in recent memory?
Yeah, I mean I can't, you know, you go back to the you know the 94 team, 94-95, when they had Corey Beck and Clint McDaniel, but they fouled more than what Jimmy and they didn't play as many minutes as Jimmy, and I would give him a lot of props for being able to play defense in that style for extended minutes in this system. They just, you know, he doesn't seem to wear down. He seems to have it every single week, and you know, then he's able to do some things on the offensive end to help this team too. I mean, he's not a great long range shooter. If he takes a three, it's because the ball just ended up in his lap as the shot clock went out, and that's all he's got. What's he taking? Maybe one or two threes this year?
They're exactly right. I think he's only taken two, and they were both at the end of the half.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it's worked out. He's going to take the ball to the paint and score in the mid-range or get it to the rim. And in that way, you know, he plays inside like Moncrief did. Moncrief was always listed as a guard. He ran the baseline and played in the middle and hurt you with his rebounding and just his play around the basket and his defensive play. And he would score and transition off of his defense. But Jimmy does it without fouling. And I would say some of those other guys that I mentioned on Nolan's team, they seem to play with their hands a little more and foul a little more. So, yeah, I'd say in recent memory, he's as good as they've had defensively at Arkansas.
And talk about the greatest that they've had on defense. When you flip over to the other side of the ball, and we talk about shooters, and Arkansas may have one of the best shooters they ever had in Isaiah Joe. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
Oh, no. I think he's the real deal, and he can get his shot off quick. He's got length, so he can get it over the defense. You know, he's still got to work on his dribble drive and some of those things, but I think he's better at that, and I think he'll probably keep adding to that. And in that respect, now his defense is solid too, and he will make plays – you know, intelligent plays defensively where he comes off his man to help and, you know, make a steal and he, you know, get in the passing lanes. But as far as shooters, just pure shooters. And I, you know, one of my all time favorites, cause I got to know him. I was actually working at the Conway paper when Marvin Delph, who's from Conway, played at Arkansas. And we had a deal that the morning after every game, we talked on the phone. And I did a little diary of that season where he went to the Final Four in 77-78 season, and got to know him and got to see him do some things back at home in the gym. And he had a long kind of slingshot motion. But now there wasn't a three-point line, so you can't go find his three-point stats. But I'd say 80% of his shots were three-pointers. Now, he had length. He was 6'4", 6'5", played around the rim, had long arms, and he could get some stick backs. But by and large, his shots were what I would say Isaiah Joe-like range. And I saw him one time at the Ferris Center at UCA at a camp, and there were probably 200 kids sitting on the floor, and he came out and they had a rack of balls at midcourt, and he made 10 in a row for midcourt with his just normal motion. And that's hard to fathom, but I saw it with my eyes, and it was there had been no warm-up. He got out of a car, walked in the gym, the kids were all there waiting for him, and you know, the camp, and he just proceeded to just smoke them in from you know, the circle. And that's range. And you know, he didn't play in the NBA. He probably would have had a long NBA career, but he signed with Athletes in Action and toured and played, you know, with the Christian ministry team. And then now I'll fast forward to you know, Todd Day was a great long range shooter, but I don't think his accuracy matches Delph. Then you go to Scotty Thurman, and I saw Scotty do some things as a freshman that were just incredible. And you think, well, scoring over 30 points at Arizona against Lute Olson zone that really extends, and also scoring over 30 at Missouri against Norm Stewart's defense. And of course, everybody knows his shot that won the national championship. You know, and then you talk about guys like Alex Dillard and Rodney Clark who had great range. Isaiah, you know, for this team, you know, it's hard to imagine that there's anybody any better. I would say those guys were, you know, they're all in the same ilk. But it's, you know, and he's still in the middle of his sophomore season. I mean, I think that sometimes we compare guys to when they were at the end of their career, and you have to remember that he's just getting started, Seth.
Yeah, that is crazy to think about, and how much he could improve, like you said, off the dribble as well, and he could really elevate his game. If I had to make you get to a top three Clay, who would you put in that top three for shooters that you've covered?
You know, I'd go Delph number one, and then I would say Scotty Thurman, and then I would say I'd say Isaiah Joe. And Thurman, you have to put there because of one shot, not a whole career, but his ability to shoot those rainbows from long range and do it in crunch time. You know, you'd have to put Scotty Thurman up there too. I would like to see what Delph could do with the 3-point line and how many points he would score. Now, they were restricted. The triplets were offensively because there's no shot clock. There's no 3-point line. And they would pass the ball and work for a layup. But at any point you could break that off, break those patterns off and just let Delph shoot it from out there. And I think later on in his career, Eddie Sutton gave his, when they did have the shot clock and the 3-point line, Eddie Sutton did change the way, the shot's worth more. And so he freed his shooters up a little bit more. But I think if you put Marvin in today's rules and the shot clock and the 3-point line, he might have really surprised you because he could get his shot off. He took the ball behind his head and shot it straight up. It was like they called him the dipper because he just dipped it behind his head. And, I'm hard pressed to say there's anybody that's better than Marvin Delph.
Good stuff there. We're talking to Clay Henry right here for Hogs Illustrated. And Clay, we're going to switch gears just a little bit here. In addition to sports and all the coverage that you do, great coverage over at Hogs Illustrated and for Whole Hog Sports of the Razorbacks, you're also a very avid fisherman. And the fishing world lost two icons in 2019 and at the very beginning here of 2020 with Forrest Wood and Jerry McInnes.
Yeah, I knew Jerry McInnes a little better than I did Forrest Wood, but I'm aware of. Now, first of all, they started off their careers in fishing together. They were guides on the White River underneath Bull Shoals Dam, trout guides. They worked the same business and so they were lifelong friends and partners in a lot of things that happened with BASS. You know, Jerry was a part owner of BASS. And of course, Forrest was, his brainchild and creation was Ranger Boats. Eventually, sold it to Bass Pro then created another venture of Dexus Boats, which might be the state of the art bass boat right now. And of course, that's both of those Ranger and Dexus are both run out of Flippin, Arkansas. So I'll go back to Jerry McInnes. When I was in high school, my father was Orville Henry, was sports editor of the Arkansas Gazette, and he decided that he would have an outdoor column, the first major daily newspaper that had an outdoor page. And Jerry McInnes was running the marina at Maumelle Lake. And now Jerry eventually would have the fishing hole at ESPN and then produce, maybe 10 or 15 different outdoor shows for ESPN. That Saturday morning block that was fishing show after fishing show, Bill Dance, all those others. That was Jerry McInnes' work. His production company in Little Rock did all that. But years ago, he would bring his fishing column into the paper. And I was in high school, worked part-time at the Gazette. And he would write it by hand on a legal pad in front and back. And then I would type it. And that was on Wednesday night that he brought that in, and it was probably my first real touch of the outdoor world because we didn't do any fishing or hunting in my house. And I was fascinated with, maybe 15 minutes on a Wednesday afternoon that I would get to talk to Jerry McInnes. And years later, we kind of relived some of those moments. I got to visit him at his house above the White River in Flippin. In fact, Forrest Wood and Jerry McInnes, they both had homes that were probably within a half a mile of each other in retirement. I shouldn't say retirement because neither one of them ever really retired, but in their latter years, they were always together. Those two guys really made an impression, you know, on the fishing industry, and like you say, icons. And for them to pass, just days apart. In fact, I went to Jerry's memorial service in Flippin, and Forrest spoke and, really presented a wonderful eulogy of Jerry. And the service tomorrow in Flippin will be well attended. I think you'll see the legends of BASS, all those guys ran those boats for Forrest in those tournaments. That's you're going to see all of those guys at that memorial service for Forrest Wood. You know, the FLW tournaments, that's Forrest L. Woods. And I got a story, Flippin's not very big. I mean, it's maybe a Class A school.
Right.
1,000 population. Well, they've got a Walmart super center. It is probably does not fit any of the demographics for Walmart, but Sam Walton and Forrest Woods were friends, and Forrest says, "Would you put a super center here?" And by golly, he got one. it's a spot in the road, but there's a super center, and I'm sure it will always be a super center too. It's a nice one.
That's good stuff, Clay. Okay. So flipping back to Razorback Sports, and there's a big, big season upcoming that a lot of Razorback fans are excited for in Razorback baseball. You've gotten to cover Dave Van Horn. Have you covered him since he's been here, since he started?
Oh, yeah. So Hogs Illustrated is in its 29th year. So he's in his 18th year. So I got the honor of covering Norm DeBryan. And of course, my days of covering Razorback sports go back, 40 years. So, if you name a coach, I covered him, Seth. So it's just like, yeah. So, and I remember Dave as a player, and I remember him as a graduate assistant coach too. That 79 team that where he was, around all those great players. I mean, it just when you say Dave Van Horn in Arkansas baseball, it's not just the 18 years that, that this will be the 18th season that he's been the coach. It's all the other, you go back to when he was playing second base for Norm DeBryan. In fact, there was one day I was looking up the stats for Dave, and the one season now he was a junior college player, came to Arkansas, then signed a pro contract. And then he came back and got his degree and worked as a GA under Norm. But I was looking at the stats, and it hit me that he played a whole season at second base and handled the ball over and over and over. And he made only 3 errors. And that's for a middle infielder. That's incredible. If you go look around the SEC and see the number of errors that the middle infielders have, it's going to be double digits almost every time. And so I said something to Dave. I said, "Do you remember that season and that you had 3 errors?" And his eyes got big, and he described all 3 errors. One of them he thought was an official scorer's mistake, that it was maybe too hot to handle, although he'll say, "I should have got it." And another one was an exchange at second base where he's trying to take the ball out of his glove. The third one might have been a throw that he thought maybe the first baseman could have gotten. So he went through the 3, and I was like, who remembers all their errors? Well, if there's not very many of them, you can remember them. But you know, when you watch Arkansas's middle infielders practice and the way he drills them, and you realize that he was a middle infielder, and that he takes a lot of pride in, in defense and in how he teaches. And, I was amazed at how he converted, Carson Shaddy into really an all-SEC second baseman, not just an all-SEC hitter, but and I think you're going to see Casey Martin's errors really kind of disappear this year. He didn't make an error in the fall up until the point, you know, he got hurt and missed the last week or two. But he really played spectacular at shortstop in the fall, and you see things start to slow down for him a little bit. But yeah, it's a lot of fun to be around Dave, and you know, one of the things that I started to do early on was have a baseball preview for Hogs Illustrated, and we printed that last week, and it's always a double size issue. I think there's about 14,000 words on baseball in that issue. Matt Jones wrote, I think he might have written three stories. I might have written four. But we've got it blanket coverage, you know, the kind of a season preview with in that issue. And Nate Allen's got a Where Are They Now on Johnny Ray there. It's a fun issue, and it's one that I look forward to every year, and getting to sit down with all the coaches, and then five or six of the players leading into the season.
I read that issue, that Hogs Illustrated baseball preview. You will not find a better place to get you ready for bomb baseball than that Hogs Illustrated issue. Stories upon stories, like you said. Where can people go and find that issue?
Well, it should be on the stands at the Walmart Supercenters. And if you're not near one of those, or you're out of state, you can call our circulation number, and they've got, as they say, operators are standing by. 800-757-6277. And it's, you know, they can mail you one, and it's 64 pages, and it's just chock full of baseball. You know, the schedule's there, the roster's there. We go position by position. It cover their newcomers, and you know, this is a good bunch of returnees with some first round draft picks, and Kerstad Martin, Casey Opitz, the catcher, is going to be a high draft pick, but they really have got some really good newcomers, including Robert Moore, who probably nobody's heard about, enrolled at midterm, is the son of Drayton Moore, who's the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. And he's been terrific at second base, played at a high level, all the all-star teams, and every situation you can imagine, team travel teams. He's played all over the country, and dynamic defender. He had triple and a home run in the scrimmage Monday. I know Matt Jones was there to cover that yesterday for us, but he's probably going to be the second baseman. The left fielder is a newcomer, junior college transfer, a fourth year junior, Braden Webb, who Dave Van Horn told me is a bigger Casey Martin. In other words, speed, power, ability to run. He had a triple off the wall in the first scrimmage, and he just glided from first to third on that triple. You know, though, just a little glimpse of some of the newcomer, Zach Morris, a freshman left-hander from Cabot, looks just like Patrick Wicklander, 6'3", 215. He's got that breaker and, fastball in the low 90s. So it's going to be another good year for Arkansas baseball.
Yeah, for sure. And everybody's expecting them to have a good year, at least from the national recognition that they've gained in preseason rankings. And as Clay said, you can go to Hogs Illustrated, you can call a phone number, you can look them up online. They'll have the number there as well if you want to get in touch, or if you want to go down to your local Walmart, you can pick up the Hogs Illustrated there. Clay, you've covered Dave Van Horn for 18 years. What's the difference in him and the Arkansas baseball program from when he got there until right now?
Well, I think that probably what you see is that the recruiting has been elevated to a national level. his ability to hire assistant coaches, and Norm had great coaches too. But if you just look through the string of coaches that have come through at Arkansas under Van Horn, they're all been terrific. And, you know, he's had only three pitching coaches in that time. He had Dave Jorn, Wes Johnson, and now Matt Hobbs. Hitting coaches, Matt Deggs, Todd Butler, Tony Vitello, now Nate Thompson. You know, all these guys are just off the charts recruiters. And by the way, the next two classes at Arkansas, one already signed, another committed, might be top three classes. I talked to a guy in college baseball that's, you know, he's a recruiting coordinator. And he says right now, he says Arkansas is signing all of their offers. And I asked Dave Van Horn about that, and he just kind of smiled. I don't think he wanted to claim that, but he didn't deny it. I think he can recruit, and then I think he produces such incredible work ethic among his players, and it just rolls from one year to the next. Every once in a while, you'll see him sign a elite player, and he doesn't last long. And if they don't fit in the work ethic, they're out of the program pretty fast. That didn't happen often, but there's no nonsense. I think he's mellowed a little bit. I think he once was really tough-nosed, tough-minded. But I think that he develops players in their work ethic, and I think he is a tireless recruiter and probably doesn't get enough credit for his recruiting. He's evidence that you can get it done at Arkansas on a national level recruiting. And I think that it speaks volumes when the general manager of the Kansas City Royals says, that's where I want my son to play instead of pro baseball. He could have signed this summer and gone to pro baseball. But here's a pro baseball guy that wants his son to play under Dave Van Horn. And I think that's a really strong endorsement.
Clay, good stuff as always. Before I let you go here on the Whole Hog Podcast, we're talking to Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. The 2020 and the new decade is upon us. Last decade saw increasing success from the University of Arkansas baseball program. This, I guess we call it the 20s, this decade of the 20s. Does Dave Van Horn finally crack that ceiling and get himself a national championship?
Well, I think that's what all the players are talking about. And that was the focus in a couple of our stories, that they want to deliver a national championship to Dave Van Horn. I think it's a matter of time. Now, you have to be a little bit lucky. And, you know, they had it right there in their grasp. And the toughest play in baseball was the last out. They didn't get it. That foul ball into I call it the Bermuda Triangle, you know, down the right field line into foul territory. I will say this. So Saturday morning, I went to watch the first scrimmage. It's about 11:30, and they're working on drills before the first scrimmage. And they've got a fly ball machine at home plate. You feed balls in and just spray them around. They had that thing turned down the first baseline, and they are Clay Goodwin is shooting towering flies into foul territory down the first baseline. You think maybe there's a reason for that? That's the way they started spring practice for this season. So, he doesn't leave anything to chance. You know, he's gonna, and I'm sure they work on that every year. It's not just because they didn't get it done 2 years ago. No, I think they will. And I think we're going to have a fun decade. I think, the coaches that are in place at Arkansas, you know, Sam Pittman checks all the boxes except being a head coach. And I think you'll see football fortunes change. They're already changing with basketball with Eric Musselman. You can go around campus and, you know, it's, the two golf programs, soccer, the two track programs, they're both in the top 10. both those coaches have national championships. Softball's in good hands, and you go through, and you know, all the others are, you know, competitive in the SEC. So I think we're going to have fun in this decade.
Clay, thanks for taking time out of your busy day and talking to us here on Whole Hog Sports.
Okay, Seth, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. That's Clay Henry, writer and producer and everything else. He does everything over there at Whole Hogs Illustrated. So make sure to check out his baseball preview issue. It is out right now. As I said, it is a great resource to get you ready for Bomb Baseball. I guess it's called Bomb Walker now. So Bomb Walker Baseball. And great stories, great information, and we really appreciate him coming on.
The Whole Hog Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout out to Clay Henry for coming on today's show. And once again, make sure to check out his baseball preview for all things Razorback baseball. If you like this podcast, then make sure to share it with your friends and subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Also, a reminder that National Signing Day is coming up soon, and you can get all of your National Signing Day information from WholeHogSports.com. Well, once again, special shout out. Well, once again, thanks for listening to the Whole Hog Podcast. I'm Seth Campbell, and I'll see you back here next week.